because he has a lot to teach us about how to survive these specific, unique challenges and yisreinus of this generation. He's the Rebbe of this generation, Ben Olam La'atzmoy. That doesn't mean that you become narcissistic and selfish in anything about yourself. We mentioned that a few days ago, that the avoider before Shabbos, the avoider is to build oneself as an Avraham Avinu, and then give that, not for yourself, but that's to be given out. So we, but first we have to work on the kamoicha, after the recha, kamoicha, we have to build the kamoicha. So we compared Avraham Avinu to Noach. We're going to continue that and tie that together now, and then we'll see. Just one second. Oh, and then we'll see one of the most cataclysmic moments in Jewish history through the Maharal's eyes. Mitzvah Shem, we'll see the shoresh of all our challenges and struggles and sufferings. We'll see where that's rooted. So Avraham Avinu was the Rosh HaMa'aminim. Kuf Hey, welcome back, Baruch. Fine. Kuf Hey, right at the bottom of the page. Umetzal says, Levavo Neman Lefanecho. So we said that Avraham Avinu was the Rosh HaMa'aminim. Noach was Ma'amin Va'ein Ma'aminim. That means he was Ma'amin Bashem, but he wasn't Ma'amin himself. He didn't understand what his unique connection to Hashem was, and Avraham Avinu did. We'll touch on that more. The Nakuda that came out was that Avraham Avinu understood that we're building this world, but not for this world's sake, but in order to elevate this world. We don't cut off this world and run away from the physicality. I don't know, we take the physicality and we elevate it. And Noach just understood that you just do what you're told, and he was prepared to do it. He sees his nefesh, but he didn't understand that he had something to offer of his own. You just do what you're told. So the Shlo Kodesh explains the Midrash Rabbah like this. It says, "V'noach motzer chayin." Noach motzer chayin. Everybody knows that phrase. Even on Shabbos, Noach motzer chayin. Who motzer? Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo motzer. He was motzer chayin, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu wasn't motzer chayin. What does it mean? Ratzel loyma. Who motzer me Hakadosh Baruch Hu shahayim ha'ir ha'isa? Noach fead in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mo'ira him. Mo'ira was moved him, aroused him, whatever the word Mo'ira is. Mo'ira is Ma'arer, Sean Mo'ira is a wake-up clock, is an alarm clock. Mo'ira means to arouse, to wake up, to receive something. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo motze mimenu, but Hashem didn't get anything from him. Kilaya lo, his Mo'ira is milamata milamala. Because there was no his Mo'ira from the bottom to the top. And that's what we said yesterday. Our job is to push the buttons down here, and then that has an impact in the higher world. That has an impact in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk, the Mishnah Perek Rabba says, "Da malamale mimcho, da malamale, da." How does it go again? Da malamale mimcho. Know that there's something above you. It's a simple translation. Nefesh HaChaim says it's not. The simple pshat says that Nefesh HaChaim is da malamale mimcho. Know that what's going on lamale is mimcho, is from you. Not know that there's something above you. You have to know that as well. It's true. And the Mishnah doesn't come untrue when you have the Nefesh HaChaim's pshat. But why do you have to know that there's something above you? But more importantly, you have to know that what's going on there is from you. Everything we do down here, all our Maisim, Diburi, Machshovas, everything is having an impact in those higher worlds. It means we have shaykhs to a world, to worlds that are way above us, and even though we have shaykhs to them, they still stay above us. That's the whole beginning of the Nefesh HaChaim there. I'm not going to go into that now, but that's part of the beginning of understanding what is Tzelem Elokim. But that's what he's saying down here. In Noah, this Hisoiris from the bottom to the top didn't exist because he didn't know that he could impact anything outside of himself. He couldn't relate to the fact that he had shaykhs to something bigger than him. And that was Avraham Avinu's Magala. Moshein came by Avraham Avinu. She'omo, this is all the Shlo Kodesh. Ashe islachti lefonov. Kloime, his ra'ati koidem loy. Avraham Avinu went in front. It means he was the one that was Moira first. The Kain Kosov Matzotis lovavod lemon lefonecho. Hashem says, I found your heart, lemon lefonecho, faithful. means Hashem found something in Noah, in Abram, but he couldn't find anything from Noah because Noah wasn't giving anything to Hashem. That means Noah was Motzechen v'Hashem. Hashem definitely gave Noah something there, but he wasn't getting anything from Noah. As we explained, the Rav Noach didn't believe that, that Hashem had anything that Noach could give him. What can I give Hashem? I don't have a Nefesh HaChaim. It's almost the Loshen there, the Nefesh HaChaim talking to us, the same Loshen. Don't think that you've got nothing to give Hashem. What have I got? I'm just a little nothing. No. Therefore, Hashem didn't find Banach anything that he was looking for. Abraham Avinu, on the other hand, revealed the enormous secret of the Bria. Hashem's interested in me. He's waiting for me. I have something for you. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Abram and his descendants after him. That's us. Now, this wasn't just a discovery that Abram Avinu found, and he wrote a few papers and he gave a few shirim and then he moved on. No, he gave up his life for this. The entire world thought that he was a bit retarded. He was a bit kachmaya. He was a bit sugar. Ulama lo zaz me imunosay. Nikra Avram Ivri. He called Ilam Kuloi Ma'averechot. He was called Avram Ivri. What's Ivri? It means he was on one side, and the entire world, everybody was on the other side. Uvu. He was on the other side. This imuna he handed over to his children and his grandchildren. As it says in the pasuk, he adatib levana shiitzov es bonov es bnei beisa chorov v'shomru derech Hashem. Hashem says, because I know that you, Abram, you're gonna command your children and your family, all the generations, all the way down, and they will guard the way of God. They will guard the Derech Hashem. Shomru Derech Hashem. So that's what we inherited from Abram, this Imunah, that we have something, we have a mission, we have a unique mission, we have a mission, we have something we can offer. Give Hashem, He's waiting for us. And that we are Shreime, the Derech Hashem, we're guarders of the Derech of Hashem. Okay. That ties up and finishes to a certain extent what we've been talking about. I want to take this a little bit further. You'll see something very, very nifla here. In a sugya and chumash, that's very, very hard to understand, difficult to understand. The Maharal opens it up and just opens your eyes a little bit here to understand what's this here. There's a question here. Okay. Abraham just didn't want his kids to have this imuna. He wanted them to have it mamash, tied into it, mamash, unbreakable. He was concerned that the kinyan in this imuna, this kinyan we need to make, would be a genuine kinyan that each one would make his own personal acquisition. Yeah. The bris ben abosarim. In the covenant of the parts, what we call it, I don't know. Let's call it the bris ben abosarim, because the translation just doesn't work. Bezman amam lagodol v'niskov shel krisis bris netzach ben Avram Avinu v'zora achar ben boyer koil alomim. What took place at the bris ben abosarim was a earth shattering moment where Hashem entered into a covenant with Avram Avinu and all his descendants afterwards. How he could do that, I don't know. You'll have to find that before she talked about. How did we get bound by what Abram did a deal with Hashem there? I wasn't there. Why am I bound by that covenant? But you are. Before she discuss how, that's another subject. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Abram Avinu, the ones that come out of your loins will be your inheritance. And also the promise from Hashem that we will inherit the land. ויאמר לבני השם אשר צריך מאול קסדים לתת לך את הארץ הזויס לראשת. Out you got of course. Now, we'll cast him, and I'm giving you this land as your inheritance. So yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling Avraham Avinu what he's giving him. We're entering into a contract, and Hashem says, this is what I'm giving you. Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question that seems to be completely out the door, just totally inappropriate, completely non-understandable. Hashem just told Avraham Avinu, your children are going to inherit the way of Hashem, and they're going to inherit the land. Says Avraham Avinu to Hashem, how do I know they're inherited? What do you mean? I just told you, Hashem. What do you mean, how do you know? Because I just told you. What do you mean? What's Avraham Avinu asking you? Rashi Avaya, Rashi explains, I'm on the phone of, he wasn't asking, how do I know? He wasn't concerned they wouldn't. Hashem tells you they're going to. I don't really want to know what merit do they have to do that. What do you care? Hashem's giving you the land. Why would you have to know what merit they'll have? Hamila Ershen and Moir al Yerushal Adoris Labonov Ulebnei Bonov. The word Ershena has an understanding of an inheritance of generation to generation, children after children. Hashem promises you your children are going to inherit the land. Avraham Avinu wants to know, what are you talking about? What schus will they have? Who says they will? Maybe Hashem just told you that they will. What are you fetching here for? Says the Maharal. So listen carefully. The Maharals are not easy to understand, but this Maharal is earth shattering news. Avraham Avinu didn't have any doubts about the Avtocha of Hashem. Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you're going to inherit the land, they're going to have the Torah. Avraham Avinu understood that that's what's going to happen. That wasn't what his problem was. Avraham Avinu shayv shekinyan Eretz Yisrael v'kinyan imunah b'Hashem Yisparach yekinyan atzmi. Avraham Avinu wanted this kinyan on Eretz Yisrael, and the Kinyan and Imuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promising Avram's descendants should be the same as Avraham Avinu had it. How did Avraham Avinu get it? Through his own personal Kinyan. He wanted his descendants to get it also through their own personal Kinyan. Shagam Bonav Yomul V'Tilchu La'Sigoy. He wanted his descendants to also toil and battle and struggle to get it the same as he did. But otherwise it's not a real Kinyan. It's not yours. You were given it. Messiahs. That's the shlo we saw the other day. When you get it as a Kabbalah, you fall from it. It's not yours. Then when someone asks you, if you find out you're not Jewish, would you magar or not? You say no, because you don't have a kinyan. It's not part of you. You're not one with that connection. Avraham Avinu didn't want that. Avraham Avinu wanted us to have our own personal kinyan in these kinyanim. Rak az hu yeh b'tuach shekinyan zeh yishayim om lenetzach. Only then are you sure that it will stay with them forever. It's called Zman. It's not a Kinyan Ishi. It's outside of you. Kozman, it's outside of you. You can drop it. When it's in you and you're part of you and it's your Das and you're Mechubah, you're joined to that, then no one can take it away from you. So that's what Avraham Avinu was asking at the Brisbane of Besorim. You know, we'll have to see. We know that everybody's asking. I can see everyone jumping up and down and asking. But one second, we see that Avraham Avinu got punished for asking that question because Hashem said, hey, you know, the kids are going to go into Mitzrayim, they're going to be tortured there, they're going to suffer there, and then they'll come out with a shoshbottle. But everybody seems to be saying so that was some kind of a punishment, Avraham Avinu, because he doubted Hashem. We'll have to see how does that stem down. But before we do that, let's just understand what we've just said. Moshe Ma David Vayimim, La Oshi Aratze Lanchil Lebnoi Es Yerushosu. A very wealthy man, and he wants his child, he wants to give to his child, the Yerusha, wants to hand over the empire to him afterwards. Ula Muyodeh Shebnoi Hu Na Tzi'ir Leyomim. He knows his son's a young guy, and V'loid Nase Klal B'Malecha Sameshcha. He has no experience in business, he doesn't know how to run a business. Understands if he hands over the entire running of the business of the whole company to his son, he knows very soon there's gonna be nothing left of it. What does he do? He gives him a certain amount of money, And he tells him, Yeshkeso Baskovi, Yase Boys, call Shkiesef Shuriot. He tells him, you go experiment, you go do business, you buy, you sell, you invest, do what you want, do whatever Mushugas you want. But Kahugam Yilmad Minanusoid, so now he learned. If he loses that money, it's not so serious because it was a very small part of the estate. But the kid's getting real life hands-on experience. Av Yavzu al Talik Ze Mispa Pamim Ache Ben Yilmad al Oiroi Val Basoroi is Darche Amescha. Father does this a few times, many times. He teaches him all the different aspects of the business. And the son learns in his bones, in his flesh, he learns from experience what to do and what not to do, and he learns the ways of business. And he's saying for Hafsadim Yilmadu Isakatilavya. The experience and the losses teach him how to make profit. That's how you teach somebody. That's the way to do it. I had a friend, it was Nift a few years ago. He was one of the world's greatest diamond polishers, one of the greats. He cut like the Star of Africa and these things. He was a world-renowned diamond cutter. Hasidi Shigit from Baropop. He used to come to South Africa often to work there and to consult there, whatever. He told me the first time when he started his apprenticeship, his boss called him in and he gave him a stone and he told him, go cut it. In those days, there were no computers to tell you where and how and whatever, but it's a well-known thing that there's certain flaws in the diamond that when you split it the first time, when you hit it the first time, the diamond shatters. If you hit the wrong spot, the diamond shatters, and you can lose, diamonds worth a lot of money. So he said he took the stone, and that's what happened. The first stone that they gave him to cut turned into powder. He was shattered. He was a young kid, while she was broken. It's like a couple thousand dollars, just like with one small mistake. Anyway, went back to the boss, also Hasidi Shahid, whatever, holding this pile of powder in his hand. And he showed it to him, and he was mamash. He was thought, that's it. His career's over. He's never going to, this is game over. And he went and he was like crying. And he showed it to the boss, and the boss says, sit down. He sat down, he took out a whiskey. He made a l'chaim, and he said, no, may that be the first of many mistakes. And that's how you learn the business. And he gave him a whole lecture, a whole shiur on how to cut diamonds and whatever, and then let him cut the diamond. He would never have learned how to polish a diamond. That's with everything. So that's what the father here does with the son. As Avraham Avinu, he says, "Kinyan Imuna b'Hashem." Avraham Avinu, how did he come about this Imuna in Hashem? How did he get this connection with Hashem? We say, "Gam is Kinyan Eretz Yisrael," and how did he acquire the Kinyan Eretz Yisrael? Because that's the palace of the king. That's where Hashem sits. This is his holy place. So how did he do that? So Avraham Avinu thought to himself like this. How did I achieve all of this? I started with nothing. I didn't have a Rebbe. I didn't have anyone to guide me. I had to mamash pull myself up on my own bootstraps. He was a self-made man, you know what they call today, a self-made man. Literally, he had no one. And I went and I built it and I did it and I grew and I learned and I tried this philosophy and that philosophy. We know that our voice were able to vote a Zorro. We say in there, God of Avraham was able to vote a Zorro. But it was from my own avoider. Ulam Moshel, so he's asking himself, Kate said, but I have a problem. The kids, my kids, are going to get the simuna from me because I've got it, so I'm going to hand it over to them. So where are they going to make their own personal kinyan? Where's their schus in this kinyan? So Kodesh Baruch Hu understood this, which was boring, Avraham Avinu, when you asked him, how do I know? Shem said, don't worry, I'll fulfill your request. Your children are going to go through what you went through. They're going to go through Golos after Golos. They're going to land up on Mamash rock bottom. They're going to land up in Memtesh Arekuma. They're going to start from the Kuda Ephes, the same as you did. From the beginning, they're going to have to go and rebuild it. It can never be the same as Avram, because Avram didn't have a Masorah. We at least have the Masorah. We at least have the Torah. Avram didn't have to discover the Torah for himself. And he had the Kadim to do that. We don't. But it's going to still, nevertheless, with the Masorah and with the Torah, it's less to be your own personal kinyan.
Avraham
Everyone wants us to acquire this the same way he acquired it, through our own schiyot, and not through schus avos. It doesn't mean we take schus avos and throw it out the window. We need schus avos. We're not suggesting to throw out everything we have, but we're suggesting to step into a whole new world that you never knew existed before. And that is the world of building yourself. And Avraham Avinu didn't know if he was right or not, because he didn't have anyone to lead him. We have schus avos. We have Elokei Avoseinu. But that's not where we end. That's where we start. We have to go into this world of Avraham Avinu's and build it ourselves. Azanu laKodesh Baruch Hu Amaleh Mevakashcha Ulam Alecha LeDat Mahi HaMechi HaMitvakesh LeMan Matra Zu. Hashem says, fine, that's what you want. I'm prepared to do that. I understand what your request is. But are you prepared to pay the price? There's a price that comes with what you're asking, Avraham Avinu. Are you prepared to pay the price? In order for your children to get to this level you want, they're going to have to fight some real, real tough battles. They're going to go through some real difficult physical and spiritual challenges, battles, yishenus. Avraham Avinu, the same way as Avraham Avinu had to stand alone against the whole world, and the whole world malachemed against him, and threw him into casting fires and wanted to kill him and pursued him as Rei Defim. So too, your children are going to have to pay that price. Avraham, are you prepared for that? Your children are going to be strangers in a strange land, and they're going to torture them and they're going to enslave them. Afterwards, they come out with Rishus Godel and they come to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Avraham Avinu is informed by Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to happen.
I have a question. But all the purpose of the Brit is to have Eretz Israel. That means, where is Matan Torah? We spoke about Kinyan Eretz Israel, to enter Eretz Israel. It's the main point, to live in Israel.
The bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered in with Avraham Avinu was the Emuna, that includes Torah, and Yerushas Eretz Israel, in Achinami. But before that, there's going to be a long Golus. And even when you're living in Eretz Israel, you're going to be in Golus.
Yeah,
we haven't discussed that yet. That's a sugya. What does exactly mean Golus? What does it mean Eretz Israel? But and yes, it's a big schus to live in Eretz Israel, because you can achieve things that you can't achieve out there. Achinami, not saying not. Aval, yeah, you're going to be going through Golus, and you're going to even go through Golus, yeah. The final Golus we're in at the moment, the Golus of what's called Golus Yishmael. That's the, I'm not going into that discussion, why is this Golus different from all the other Goluses? That's Golus Yishmael, that they try to prevent you from coming back into Eretz Yisrael. The Koiches HaTuma don't want Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, because they understand what that means. But in Achinami, not that the main thing is Eretz Yisrael. We see that we were from Jews and we kept the Torah for 2,000 years in Golus. But the ultimate is, yes, to be living in Eretz Israel with the Beis HaMikdash, with our ability to be to connect the Kodesh Baruch Hu the way it's supposed to be. Yep.
Yes, it's a main tool, if you want. It's a main tool. It's difficult.
It's more than just a tool. You're right, but you have to be careful how you put it, because it's more than just a tool. It was part of the bris. It wasn't just like, you know, I'm going to give you something nice, Eretz Yisrael is the rice field, and it's a sort of a side issue. It's more than just one mitzvah out of 613. It is just one mitzvah out of 613. That's why Pekuch Nefesh is Beichen mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in certain cases. I'm saying it fits the same pattern as all the other things. But Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the only place where a person can really, really connect his neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. In Achinami, yeah. From a Ruchnia sticker point of view, the only place that you can really connect to Hashem ultimately is here. But in the meantime, there's a thing called Golus. That's what we have to deal with. We have to deal with Golus. So wherever you are, you're in Golus, and we have to learn how to live properly in Golus while connecting to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But for sure, that's Eretz Yisrael. We see that in Birkas HaTorah we make before Kriya Shema in the morning. So have a look. You'll see that coming into Eretz Yisrael is very connected to our Kinyan in Torah. We ask Hashem to bring us back into Eretz Yisrael, and then we ask Him to give us Torah. So you see there, go have a look at Avraham Rab again, you'll see it's mamash, the juxtaposition between Eretz Yisrael and learning Torah. Ma'od ma'od, for sure, no question. It was at the Brisbane of Besorim where Hashem made this promise, your children inherit the land. It wasn't just a piece of real estate that, you know, you need somewhere to live. So Hashem says, fine, I'll give you a little shtickle land. It could be Eretz Yisrael, it could be the Congo. No. Eretz Yisrael is specific Eretz Yisrael. That's why the whole world, everybody wants Eretz Yisrael. Everybody wants this little shtick of desert, a little bit of beach. It looks like a big beach, really. How big is Eretz Yisrael? There's zoos in South Africa that are bigger than Eretz Yisrael. What's the big deal? The whole world's ready to almost destroy themselves over Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, because they understand this is where it's at. This was the bris with Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just Avraham Avinu said, listen, Hashem, it's all very nice. I'm going to raise a nation, but I need somewhere to live. Where are we going to go? So Hashem shows the map, says, choose a nice piece of real estate. Go to Honolulu, go to... No. Eretz Yisrael, specifically. That's where the world was created. That's where Adam Arishon was created. That's where the Akedah took place. That's the whole of... That's the place where heaven kisses earth. As Chazal said, that the Mokam HaMikdash is where heaven kisses earth. That's the place where you have the ultimate intimate connection. The kiss is the ultimate intimate connection. Where heaven kisses earth. That's where Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are able to mamash. Yishakeinim and Yishkiyos Piyu, that close connection. Okay, tov, I've lost track with where we were. So that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu. You want your children to acquire this themselves, not to just get it as a Yerusha. Son, I'm happy to do that, but you must be prepared to pay the price, and Avraham Avinu was prepared to pay the price. That means every drip of Yisurim, of suffering, that we as individuals and as a clan have been through the last 2,000 years, Avraham Avinu was shown and he was maskim to it. And not just maskim to it, he went to sleep peacefully. He lived with that knowledge and he died with that knowledge and was able to die peacefully because he had no problem that was the right thing. And we see by Yaakov as well, when Yaakov lives in Mitzrayim and he knows what his kids go through. Yaakov Avinu had the Masuri, he knew what Klal Yisrael was going to go through, and yet he lived with that knowledge quite peacefully. And when he tried to give it over to his kids at the end and he couldn't, he died peacefully. Because he understood, Akol Tov, that's what is necessary and that's what we have to go through. Okay, Matzah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the threads here and we'll tie it together. The Seder Gomor. Any questions if you have? Otherwise...
With Noach and Shem and Abraham, what exactly did they think if they didn't think that Hashem was involved in their lives? What did they think was the purpose of the Bria? Why did they think they were created? If they had
Brilliant question. Good question. I don't have time to go into it now. It's a long discussion. We can either meet up later. If you want, Rav Tetz in his book, the letters that he wrote to a Buddhist Jew, that's the only place where I found it really, really discussed properly, is what was going on in Yeshiva Shem Va'eva. I mean, the first question to ask is, what did they learn in that Yeshiva? Well, what were they teaching in that yeshiva? Just to give you the end of the whole story, we have to say how to build it. The mistama that yeshiva looked a bit like a Buddhist monastery or something. They had the higher wisdom, they had the higher knowledge. They knew that there was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they were learning that higher knowledge. But they were learning it as the way the goyim learn spiritual wisdom is by disconnecting from the physical world, being menutak from the physical world. Avraham Avinu understood that the friction, the struggle that happens between the guf and the neshama, that is where we make our lives. The goyish world understands if you want the neshama to fly, you have to disconnect from the guf. So they went into monasteries and retreats and they became monastic. That's the whole goyish world. We, on the other hand, engage the physical world. That's why, by the way, you'll see it's fascinating. You have a look there, but that's asked a few very fascinating questions. You gave the Shin the Yeshiva once a few years ago. Is why wasn't Nimrod chasing Shem Va'eva? Nimrod had a massive battle with Avraham Avinu, ongoing battle, besides just all Kastim, this is an ongoing, all the way through to the Raflaga, major war between Avraham and Nimrod. And yet we see Shem Va'eva wasn't bothered. Nimrod, they were happy to let Nimrod's yeshiva carry on running. They never tried to close it down. They never were fine with that. That was question number one. And question number two is when Rivka was having trouble with her twins, with Esav and Yaakov, she mother with twins. She felt there was like this psychotic child inside of her, a schizophrenic child, who was one moment running to Avodah Zorah, one moment running to to the Beis Midrash, who did she go ask? She went to Shem. Why didn't she ask her husband? He was a god like Lord. Why didn't she ask her father-in-law? He was, you're lacking, people to ask shalas to. You better go schlep half around the world to go ask some Buddhist priest. What was pshat there? Why did she go there, Dafka? And she was no fool. She was also a novice. She knew what she was doing. If you go have a look there, you'll see there's a fascinating, you'll see there the differences between the Noah path and the Avram path. And also, by the way, why did Yaakov, when he was on his way to Lavan, why did he have to go learn B'Shem Vaeva? There was Svarim that Yitzhak didn't have, that he had to go. What was going on there? Well, why did he have to go there? And very interesting is they didn't sleep in that yeshiva, you know. It says Yaakov didn't sleep the whole time he was there. Why? Because that's what you do. You disconnect from the physical. You live a very aesthetic life. You disconnect from the physical. And you saw in the higher world. And they knew how to do that. The Easterners know how to fly around in the higher worlds. But that wasn't our tachlis. Avram Avinu's message and Avram Avinu's tachlis was that we have to take the lower world and connect that to the higher world. That's what we do. So that's just the hakdama to the sugya. Go have a look there and we can discuss it another time. Yeah. What were they learning in Yeshiva Shem Vaeva? And even afterwards, it's quite a pillar. These guys met Yaakov Avinu and they never magayit. Fascinating. That's always bothered me enormously. After you meet a fully fledged Yaakov Avinu, or you meet a Yitzchak and Avram, you don't magayit. You carry on your monastic path. Hella otzma, what they were thinking of. Absolutely nifla. But that's why most monasteries run Jews today. You know, it's like that's we are okay. Dave.
Hey, thanks.
Okay. Go have a look at that book. That book is unbelievable, Michi. You'll really enjoy it. I've gone through it a few times. It's like really where you see the whole. The sort of all our hashkafa, mamash, coming through beautifully and explained in a nice way, because he's writing letters to somebody who has no background. So he builds the sugyas there in a way that he doesn't do anywhere else. A very, very amazing sefer. You know, you can put off like letters to a Buddhist Jew, as Marcus Shua like. No, but all the yasoidas there are the basic foundations of hashkafa he builds there for this guy. Very beautiful. But he discusses this whole sugya of this Avram Avinu Noach. It's not the same mahalach. He has a slightly different mahalach to Rav Taba, you'll see. Once we've seen Rav Taba's Malach, I'll show you where they don't really, you can reconcile both of them. They're not a stereo, they're just different approaches. Rav Moshe's approach and Rav Taba's approach are slightly different as to what Avram's Chiddush was. I'm kind of melting both of them in here together. So that's really the derech we're taking. I've kind of synthesized the two already. Okay, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Shkoyach,
thank you, Rabbi. What? Oh. People say it's a hefsek.
But there's women in this case with differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got what you wanted?
What?
Check out what I'm doing? Top of the morning.
Baruch Hashem, how are you doing? We got more questions. There's no end to this. I know. So, by the way, Rav Sher said that he hasn't decided what he's going to do about Kollel. But he said that if there is some limited opening, that he will continue to at least give his shear on Zoom and probably all the other shearing. Nope. Suits me also. Right. Did he really think we were done? I noticed that you commented, nobody else said a word. I don't think they're anywhere near being done, but they didn't say anything. No, I'm saying as far as how far they progressed. At the end, he asked if we were done, and you said no, but nobody else said anything at that time. Kavachomer meaning it would be derisa svara, meaning it's the Rabbana. So what is the difference in how we would behave one way or the other? Is that what it is? I think one of the differences, if you don't remember saying a bracha, like a bracha krona, you would repeat it if it's derisa, if it's Kavachomer. But if we're talking about a